collaborative study between researchers at Montana State University in Bozeman and ARS, USDA ARS in Sidney, Montana. And in Montana, we typically have on our dry land systems, they're wheat-based. And Dr. Chancey Chen, in his talk earlier in the first half of this session, presented that we have about 6 million acres of wheat every year in Montana. And the conventional rotations in much of the state are still winter wheat fallow or spring wheat fallow, depending on where you are. The northeastern part of the state is very much more diversified. About 90% of that area is recropped, but much of the rest of the state is wheat fallow. And interestingly enough, pesticide use on wheat in Montana. The actual herbicide use on fallow ground, the approximately 3 million acres of fallow we have in Montana, is actually greater than the herbicide pounds we use on our wheat. That really surprised me the first time I saw that in a survey conducted by Jim Johnson in agricultural economics and economics prior to his retirement. So we're highly interested in reducing our herbicide use. Number one, they're expensive. Number two, we use an awful lot of glyphosate. It is highly important to have glyphosate available because we're predominantly zero-till now, and we put an awful lot of selection pressure for resistance to our weeds where we're applying 4 applications of glyphosate a year in a fallow system. So yeah, that is not unbelievable. It is true. One of the ways that producers used to grow crops in Montana was, particularly on the smaller farms in the Judith Basin, where Chancey Chen conducts his research, was diversified livestock and crops. Most of the rest of the state, we are wheat and other annual crops. Working with Pat Hatfield, and Pat's been the project director on this study since he and I started this in 2003, we were interested in utilizing sheep as a biological herbicide, or as Pat likes to say, a biological maggot. I don't know, he likes sheep though, they taste great. So anyway, we're interested in decreasing weed our costs and selection pressure for herbicide resistance in our fallow systems. The objectives of the study overall, again, are to look at the effects of our fallow management on weeds, productivity of the grain crops, and various soil quality parameters such as soil carbon pools, nitrogen pools. We're looking at greenhouse gases, weed seed bank, and pollinators. Currently, we have 5 graduate students working on this study, this set of plots. Today, I'm going to, in Upendra's crop, Upendra's talk, provide the results from the first 4 or 5 years, depending on the parameter, of this study. Now, the study itself involves 3 crop rotations. And they're fairly simple, but these are the predominant rotations in much of the state on dry land in Montana. We're looking at winter wheat fallow, spring wheat fallow, and continuous spring wheat. Parameters listed, everybody can read, that are going to be presented today. We have all components present every year in the field in 3 replicates. Every one of those rotational components is present in under 3 management scenarios. One is where we have tilled fallow or post-harvest tillage, and then we have chemical fallow or herbicide after harvest to control or manage our weeds, and then we're also utilizing sheep grazing. Again, and our primary weed post-harvest in Montana is volunteer wheat. We spray a lot of glyphosate to control volunteer wheat. Anyway, I just went over the treatments there. Maybe I know what slide's coming next. Anyway, our stocking rate has varied quite a bit over the 4 years, and that's largely in response to the amount of forage available, forage being a mixture of volunteers and weeds, and we have quantified that every single grazing period in terms of plant densities and biomass. I'm not going to present those results today, though. Our tillage is a combination of tandem disc and field cultivator. It says here 0 to 15 centimeters. I think that tandem disc probably hits 20 centimeters sometimes. The experimental design, and again, these are fairly decent sized plots for those that prefer English units. I believe that is 50 by 300 feet for each subplot. Here's an aerial view. This was taken in 2004. You can the M is wheat just below at the top on the far, your far right. M stands, that's fallow at the very top, and that's where it's tilled fallow. The C is chemical fallow, and that is wheat stubble. And the G is grazed fallow, and this is after grazing. And for those of you familiar with Montana, this is at Fort Ellis, a little bit of site history. It is not typical conditions for the northern Great Plains. Sites at about 1,700 meters or 4,800 feet. Precipitation at this site, we don't have long-term data, but we're just a couple miles from Bozeman, up the Bozeman Pass, at the Fort Ellis Sheep Farm, which was an old cavalry fort that was abandoned in 1892. Precipitation is in the neighborhood of 450 to 475 millimeters a year. So that's really wet for dry land Montana, and I would call this a rain-fed site. This is not Sydney, this is not Havre, this is not even Fort Benton. Here's a photo taken in 04 when we first put the sheep out the very first time. You can see the date, July 28th. Bozeman is awfully green July 28th compared to much of the rest of the state. We have an awful lot of weeds here, a lot of crucifers. And we never let the weed biomass attain this much prior to grazing sheep ever again. This is what a plot looks like after grazing. It took them quite a while to graze this down, 9 days. You can see the plants possibly are not dead. You have a lot of stem material. Give it another shot of rain. Those axillary nodes will produce leaves again. Crop management. We fertilize to a nitrogen goal, or to a yield goal with a nitrogen requirement based on MSU recommendations. Our yield goals here for continuous spring wheat, winter wheat fallow, spring wheat fallow are listed. That's 70 and 90 or 90 bushels per acre. Again, this is about triple what our state averages are for these crops, or not quite triple, but 2.5 times the long-term state averages for these crops. We're in Bozeman with a lot more rain and very high quality soil here. We've done extensive subsoil sampling over the years and going to present the data on those now. These are some fairly complicated slides to look at, an awful lot of results here. In the upper left corner, we have year on X, grain yield in megagrams per hectare, and that is an annualized yield. So continuous wheat, that's the yield of the continuous wheat. For wheat fallow, whether it's spring or winter, it is yield divided by 2 because you have wheat and you have fallow as the other half of that rotation. So you divide by 2 to take into account to annualize it. And you can see that we have differences among years, and they're not entirely consistent for yield by our rotation. Notice that those yields are about half of what our yield goals were. That's because our yield goals are not presented on an annualized basis. So that was a little confusing the first time I saw this slide. In terms of our fallow management, by year interaction, there is no interaction from looking at that. And this is, again, for fallow across our three wheat crops. So what that tells us is whether you had tilled fallow, chemical fallow, or sheep-grazed fallow, yield was not impacted, yield of our wheat crops, by our fallow management. Our biomass yield, well, and this is above ground biomass, and this, from looking at the numbers, I believe that would include, nope, That is just the residue. That will not be residue plus or straw plus grain. That would be just the straw. Otherwise, we have harvest index less than zero. So again, we have differences that are not consistent among years, but in rotations. And here we do have a couple of differences in our biomass, our residue that's going back to the soil across our wheat crops by fallow management. Okay, for soil phosphorus, we have an interaction of rotation by management by soil depth. No surprise. And the first thing that stood out to me when I saw this is, wow. In fact, I actually saw it after we did the very first soil sampling when we started the trial. We have incredibly high levels of Olson P. 80 parts per million. Anybody see that in their crop fields? You do. Wow, I've never seen that in the western U.S. We just don't have any manure to apply, I guess. We don't have any chickens. So anyway, extremely high levels. Why is that? Because this has been in a this ground has been in a pasture situation, this 30-acre block, for 40 years that we know of. It was also horse pasture when the cavalry was there, because we've pulled hundreds and hundreds of horseshoes out of these plots, along with rings from traces and the rings on the wooden things on the sides of them, just an incredible amount of things from when the cavalry was present. Anyway, not to digress too far. Soil phosphorus concentrations are very high across rotations and depths. However, when we look at our continuous spring wheat, and these results are from the final year here, and I believe that would be 2008. Sampled 2008 in the fall, we've completed 2.5 cycles of our 2-year cycle, so 5 years. Continuous spring wheat, we don't have significant differences in Olson P among our three methods, our three management methods, whereas where we're sheep grazing, which is the yellow bar on the right, it's lower. Well, that's where we're sheep grazing. Remember, there's plant growth a lot more than where we have tilled fallow or chemical fallow. So the plants are utilizing it. Sheep are taking it up. Sheep excrete, but a lot of that phosphorus passes through the animal is not showing up as Olson phosphorus, plant available. And I'm down to 1 minute already.
No, you've got a couple of minutes.
Oh, yeah. Okay, good. Gee. Yeah. I'm sure they have some questions. Anyway, the trends are very similar at the 15 to 30 centimeter depth and the 30 to 60 centimeter depth, although at that deepest depth, the continuous spring wheat, we do have differences among our management. Our three managements. Potassium, the results are actually very similar to what we see for the soil phosphorus. But here, the concentrations of available potassium are nothing. They're more what we would normally see, as opposed to about 4 to 8 times higher. Soil pH, we have differences at 0 to 15 centimeters in our in pH, where it's a little lower compared in grazed and chemical fallow, and I do not know why, other than perhaps tillage is mixing the soil. We are using a fair amount of urea as nitrogen, so we're probably getting a little bit of soil acidification there, but I'm kind of surprised we would be able to even measure that only 5 years into the experiment. This soil started with 6% organic matter. Again, very atypical of the northern Great Plains. Year effect of phosphorus concentration, gee, 2006, as I recall, was rather dry in Bozeman. I'm not going to try and explain why phosphorus concentration varies across year, across treatments. Could be a laboratory issue. Calcium and magnesium concentrations, little variation among our treatments here. When you're looking at a 30 to 60 centimeter depth difference among treatments, I would say that's perhaps in that 5%. Sodium concentration, now that is interesting to me. sheep excrete sodium. And in the Northern Great Plains, we generally don't want any more sodium in our soils than we already have. It's not an essential plant nutrient, and you get enough sodium, you limit product, you limit crop productivity. We have to feed sheep nutrients, mineral supplement. USDA guidelines say so, since we're operating on USDA monies. And you notice under fallow management, the grazed on the far, very far right, the purple, A, slightly higher sodium concentration after 4 years. And this is a high precipitation site. Again, 450 to 475 millimeters a year. Much of that, the majority of the moisture is snow, but we probably have a fair amount of leaching, although we do not have lysimeters in this study. That is something for us to watch over time. I wish we were also doing this study in a 12 or 13 inch rainfall area. CEC and EC, we have some minor differences here. Again, how fallow management would affect CEC at 30 to 60 centimeters. I'm not going to present any hypotheses on that today. But the upper depths, there are no differences among our management treatments or our crop rotations. And that's more what I would expect 4 years into a study in this environment. In conclusion, after two cycles, 4 years, actually 5 years of data on this through 2008, our annualized wheat yields have not been affected by our management regimes of tilled fallow versus and chemical fallow compared to sheep grazed fallow. That's real good. One thing we have noticed, and then didn't present those results today, is that our nitrogen fertilizer requirement to meet and available N for yield gold is actually about 30-35 kilograms per hectare higher under sheep grazing. And there could be several reasons for that. And our soil phosphorus and potassium concentrations under sheep grazing are going down a little bit more quickly than in our other management, tilled fallow and mechanical fallow systems. Probably due to uptake by the weeds that are growing in the volunteer. And actually, that's good environmentally, because we don't need to have that much Olsen phosphorus around. And cropping sequence and fallow management had variable effects on calcium, magnesium, sodium, and sulfur. And again, to reiterate, the increase at the 30 to 60 centimeter depth of sodium is very interesting and of concern. We have additional funding for this study. We're in the seventh year of this study now, and hope to continue it for quite a few more years, assuming we remain successful on getting grant dollars. So if anybody...
Oh. Okay. That's you thank say, you David. Very much. We'll take a question or two. We've got a business meeting that starts in about 2 or 3 minutes now. But
actually, there's been, some of the places say 3 o'clock, so probably won't start exactly 2:45.
No, till 3 o'clock. Okay. Got a question in the back there.
Yes?
How did you analyze your nutrient contents? Was it like an analysis of variance or statistics?
Statistically, okay. It's proc mixed. It's proc mixed in a split plot arrangement. The whole plot would actually be management, if you remember looking at the aerial photo, or maybe you don't, but whole plot would be management, and the subplot would be the rotation components. And again, these data are annualized, so for wheat and fallow, we sample everything, obviously. 5 cores per plot, and proc mixed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not, I did not go in a lot to any where we had differences in calcium or magnesium due to treatment, either rotation or management at 30 to 60 centimeters. That's probably site-driven. Just, the plots are randomized. Yes?
I'm not a soil scientist, so I have two questions. One being, what is the maximum load of sodium in soils? And then two, was there care taken in your sampling technique to avoid watering in gate areas to actually avoid sampling urine patches?
Okay, good questions. And the second one particularly, was the soil sampling done so that you avoid gate areas and watering areas, or in our case, mineral supplement areas?
Okay.
Absolutely. They're moved to a different site, I think, about every couple of days when the sheep are present. Then we don't start in the same place every time. Each plot is sampled 5 individual cores that are then composited by depth. So we're sampling across that, across each plot over, well, they're 300 feet long, and so we space them out visually as we're driving the probe truck. So yeah, I think, do we sample manure and urine patches? Absolutely. We can have total weed biomass over the season of 4 or volunteer biomass, which is the number one weed in terms of density. We can get 3,000-4,000 kilograms per hectare of weed biomass over the growing season. We graze it down as many as 5 times a year in a season. So yeah, we are absolutely sampling urine and manure patches. It is impossible not to. And that's an advantage of sheep over cattle, is it's much better distributed. The sheep also are fairly loose, so the pellet piles are tending to break up pretty well, as opposed to having because they're eating a lot of green weeds, particularly that volunteer wheat. So it breaks up pretty well as opposed to small hard cow pies that are much more discreet in where they're located.
She also had the comment on the levels of sodium.
Yeah, levels of sodium, certainly. We're not sampling right along the edges. We put the minerals along a fence and move them, and we're not sampling right along the edge of the fence. So, but yeah, they certainly urinate, and that's I believe that would be the source of sodium out there.
Yeah, that's why I asked that part. But what is the maximum load of sodium before the production of wheat is planted?
I'm not sure I would be able to use, I don't know. You know, wheat, what is it, 4 decisiemens? Something in there in soil concentration? Something in there. It varies by crop. I think there are a few minor cultivar differences, but I don't know. I really don't know.
Did you have
we have a soil scientist here that knows that?
And the out of how many years? 7 years of grazing. Do you see any wheat problem that sheep grazing can control all the wheat?
Yes. Chensey's question was, after 7 years, do we see any differences in the weed community across these plots by treatment? And excellent question. I should have fed that. I didn't even have to feed that to you beforehand. I'm glad you asked that. And the answer is absolutely yes. The number one weed that sticks out, remember, this was in sheep pasture for at least 40 years before we started this study. So you would think there might be some plants out there and some seed in the weed, in the seed bank of weeds that made seed that sheep wouldn't eat. That's why they made seed, because this is an animal science pasture, so it's management was horrible for many, many years. And so yes, dandelions, common mallow, and we also have a lot of, trying to remember in English, fanweed, a lot of fanweed. This is, again, a very cool site. Often get 5 or 6 snowstorms in June, snowstorm or 2 in August, and definitely several snowstorms in September. C4 grasses, they don't exist here, so we see none of the foxtail species. Have a fair amount of wild oats, and we don't see any wild oats where we're grazing sheep. We also don't see any Bromus tectorum, downy brome, and we have the tectorum at this site. We don't see any Bromus tectorum where we're grazing, and we do in some of the other rotation, particularly the winter wheat fallow, like you'd expect. So yeah, great question. Thank you.
Okay, we're the time is up, and let's thank our speakers.